Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast.
I'm Larry Monkey, and you can find me on Twitter. That's X. That's Twitter. Twitter X at FF Larry Monkey. And always, always, it is always, we see the salmon-colored t-shirt. It is a staple. The redneck hippie from Mississippi. At Run DFF, Justin Rogers. What's up, baby? Is that like a salmon above you, above that slider, the door behind you?
That's Mr. Catfish. That's Mr. Catfish up there.
Does he like sing when you walk under him? Does he like
No, that's the bass. That's the bass that would do that. I don't have one of those. I need one. When I build my shop, I think I'm going to look for one of those and I can put it in the shop.
Oh.
It's a staple in the South to have one of those.
To have a singing bass?
Yes. Yes. Of course. Come on. Well,
we have a guest on tonight, but he ain't from the South.
No, he is not.
He's from the North.
Boston.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
What is up?
We are going to talk to a senior writer for Dynasty Nerds. Hey, but he's more, I like him on the Debbie Dose, man. Fellow league mate. We'll get into some of that.
At EK Baller. What's up, my man? EK.
What's going on, Larry? Appreciate the warm welcome.
Oh.
You know, you get me fired up for this show every time. It's like, let's go, man. Let's go.
I'll tell you what, these intros today, they were just smooth, Larry. Smooth. You've been rehearsing all day for those.
Like, smooth like a racetrack full of potholes.
We got some really kind herb in the dispensaries these days. you know, there's like some 35% stuff, and it takes you through a couple of different wormholes throughout the evening. So we'll see how this goes. But EK, baby, I'm pumped, man, because we are in the league together. We're in the Hogs League. We talk about that a lot on the show. The Angry Sports Couple League, it's also known as. I made a great deal during the rookie draft. Did I make a great deal? I made a great pick during the rookie draft.
A great pick.
No, you traded up.
Oh, I did. I traded up.
I believe you did, yes.
Was that a trade up during the rookie draft, or did it happen and then the pick ended up being the 103?
I can't remember. I feel like he traded in front of me for it, but it could just be misremembering.
My resentment. I traded up so in front deep. Of you because I knew you were going for Gibbs, and
I was going to take Gibbs.
I took
Gibbs. I didn't even need a quarterback. I had like five quarterbacks on my roster after this draft,
and I needed. Why I didn't pick Stroud? Back. Yeah, I needed a running back really bad, and I'm like, EK's definitely he has like the next three picks or something ridiculous. So,
yeah. And boom. I had like Cam Akers and Dobbins on my roster at that point.
Oh no, yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
So the gist of the deal is Larry traded up, took Gibbs at 103, and EK had the 104 and 105 and got stuck in like QB area there because it went Bijan, A. Rich, and then Gibbs. So then it was like Young and Stroud are the obvious picks.
Yeah.
And what happened there, EK?
I took Young. I had Young over Stroud just based on film grades and vibes, despite Stroud being ahead of him in my model, which is not something I'll do again because it looks Trust like my model's good. but it was, you know, last year was the first year I really tried a QB model. So I didn't have a ton of faith in it. I had a bunch of Stroud shares already. And I really like Jackson Smith and Jigba, like we all did, you know, and I didn't really need quarterback. But, you know, this is illustrative. It's a lesson in taking the BPA. BPA would have been Stroud over JSN. So I think I effed up there. But I want to talk about that next pick, though. How did it feel being a Quentin Johnston owner? Larry? How does that feel?
Right
in front of Jordan Addison, too. Well done, Larry.
Dude, right in front of anybody else. Really?
Yeah, that's true.
This is a 1.75 tight end, you know? There's a lot of guys after that. Even Rashee Rice would have been a nice pick. I whiffed on to like two more picks after that. But, you know, I did the same thing in my home dynasty league that you were just talking about and the pick was up, and I took Bryce Young just to diversify.
Okay, so you know what? You mentioned it's a 1.75. Even worse, Larry, you took Roschon Johnson over Sam Laporta.
Yeah. Mm. You know what it was? I needed running backs, and I was just going to go heavy running back.
Yeah, you
and
did.
And then I have Quentin. I had at the time, I had Quentin Johnston in a Devy league that I had for a couple of years, so I've always been kind of a fan of his. Man, where did that guy fall in your model?
My pre-draft model hated him, had him buried. And then my post-draft model, the draft capital, brought him up to about kind of where he was with consensus. I'm taking lessons from that, too. If guys look really, really bad in my pre-draft model, I think that I'm going to be fading them, even if they did get the draft capital, right? I think there's going to be some of those this year, too. But it's funny. We both did the same thing. We both drafted for need instead of taking the best player available and got kicked in the graves for it. That was where Johnson was going. I don't fault you on that. The upside was there, right? Like, you know, downfield rack god is a good profile, but it's elusive. You know,
I just can't believe AJ Brown. Laporta dropped all the way to the 10 or the 208. Is that what it is? Yeah, that's in a 1.75. And Mayer should have been going earlier than that in a 1.75.
I took Mayer at the turn in a lot of leagues. You know, like 201, 202.
Exactly.
I loaded up on Laporta. I probably passed on him here because I had so many shares already. But I am kicking myself on doing that as well. I feel like I try to diversify too much. I think that's a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as a
portfolio player, and so you're portfolio player.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think of it. But I just I feel like it can be disadvantageous.
It feels like you're a little more player centric, at least in the opinions world. Maybe not in the way you manage your players, but
I think I'm second guessing myself a little bit on my picks from last year and trying to see how I can improve ROI. And again, like Larry kicked my butt in this league. Good job, Larry. He just traded his way around the board. Not just in this, but before and after the draft as well, and won the league.
Let me just say that Quentin Johnston selection was part of my playoff trading. It was Quentin Johnston and Trevor Lawrence for Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
W for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Was the counter from him. Him made that deal. So... So that worked out. So yeah, man, won that league. I was an orphan. I took over. Big fan of this league, obviously. And I have a nice team to, I made another trade for Puka Nacua, where I sent off Drake London and George Pickens
for Puka, like towards the end of the season. Puka,
that was championship week, I think.
Yeah, that was the end of the season.
That's a good trade too. I think that still holds up. I mean, London could do it this year, but. He didn't give up that much, really, in the long scheme.
Two guys that are capable of putting up donuts for Puka has just been steamrolling. I don't know. It was a championship game. I didn't want to get screwed by Drake London or George Pickens. And I knew Puka
wide receiver two, wide receiver three threshold players for
the start 13. So you got to be careful on your two for ones, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, EK, for joining us, man.
Yeah, now that you came on the show, just so that Larry could rub the draft.
Could mock me, ridicule me,
for having it.
Back the bus up.
Yeah, we're glad you came. And
thank you. Good night.
Nice savages.
That is the awesome
And they just dropped me from the podcast. They go on.
The key.
You almost should do that. That would be classic.
It's that time of year. We just bring up folks we've harassed during the season. Bring them on. We'll reminisce about it and then kick you to the curb.
Oh, shit.
Man. It would be kind of fun one day to
be hilarious.
Where you just do that with like five or six different people. You're like, oh, thanks for coming. And, you know, like, oh, we're going to record it at 9:30. Then we're going to record it in the next one. We're going to record it at 9:45. They don't know.
an episode of pooping on people.
If we ever, Larry, decide to end the show, that's how we do it. We just bring on people, shit on them, and then let it go. And then,
Bo big time, last week's guest. Bo was like, I thought I was going to take some more shit from you guys. So now I feel like we got to bring a little extra now for EK.
So this is all Bo's fault. Yeah.
It's all Bo.
Yeah, I'm going to have some words with Mr. McBrayer.
Since you're a Debbie guy and you've been watching film for years on these guys and throwing them in your model and everything. Do you do any Senior Bowl stuff, like watching that, or is that kind of irrelevant to what you're thinking when we get to this point?
I like reading what other people write about the Senior Bowl, but it's funny. You get like two different scouts watching the same thing, telling you completely opposite things. So it can be tough to sort through. I do kind of trust some of the like major media people on it, not like, you know, random CBS talking heads, but like the NFL.com guys are sharp, like Lance Erline and those scouts are pretty sharp. And you gotta be careful about the Senior Bowl though. And I feel like last year is a little bit of an exception because so many of those guys went on and dominated this year, right? Like Tank, Reishi, several guys just came out firing and really did great this season. I don't feel like that's always the experience. I do feel like it's kind of like the B-listers playing against the B-listers, because if you're an early declare, historically, you're not at the Senior Bowl. I do think they changed that, and they're allowing some juniors to come as well moving forward. But I've never been that excited about it. I usually have felt like the NFL overdrafts those people, but I don't know. Like, I feel like I do have to take into account like last year and some of those guys really showed out and then went on and played at a very high level in the league. So I'm kind of trying to drop some of my priors on it, but not a huge focus of my process. I feel like it's more of a media event than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I do watch film. I you know, Dynasty Nerds guy. I do film cut-ups or have historically. Their film room's awesome. I recommend it. So like, watching the cut-ups is very illustrative. But when you're watching an NFL-level player playing against Group of Five competition, it's not, like, fair, right? They're, like, the best player on the field, and it doesn't always pan out that way when they are, you know, playing against other NFL players.
We're going to talk a little bit about the wide receivers that are that have been getting a lot of buzz since the combine. Have you been buzzing about these guys since before the combine? Like, where's your buzz level right here on the wide receivers?
How about some of the specific names that like vaulted up? Like Xavier Worthy obviously had a monster 40, and that's got him in the first round conversation now. Was he one of your guys before? Who else really just is blowing up right now? Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas, Mitchell. I don't care about the combine for wide receiver at all, to be honest. I find it to be pretty much irrelevant. I don't love it if they measure like way undersized or if they run like a 4.65, right? Usually those guys are just not going to run though, that are like slow, but also good.
We're talking to you, T. Higgins.
Yeah, exactly, man. There's a one or two every year. But you know, Xavier Worthy has one of the best analytical profiles in the class anyways. You know, my data model had him as the wide receiver 4 before this. And I don't use speed or speed score as an input. Some guys do. I don't think it helps with this specifically. So for him, and honestly, like it's almost getting backlash on him because you're seeing everybody throw these charts up on Twitter with all the wide receivers that have ever run a 4.2 something. And it's like John Ross, and then like a list of like guys that are like that profile player, Henry Ruggs, and none of them did anything in the league, right? But to me, he's not that player. He's the best player on that list, objectively, in terms of film, in terms of the rest of his data profile. So I'm pretty high on him, generally speaking. I think I have him about where my data model. And the thing about Worthy is that he knows how to use his speed, and it's not just him running seam routes and like deep posts. It's like you can see it in like his yak game, right? Like gets a reception, guy's got him dead to rights, and he just like erases the angle and he's in for a touchdown. I forget which game it was I watched the other day. I think it was Alabama, Texas Alabama. And like the first play, he gets the ball. He just catches the ball on like the 20, makes six people miss him, and he's in for a touchdown. I mean, that's a different skill set than, you know, fast guy, run deep. And I do think he brings that, you know, he's more like I don't know, I suck at player comps, but like Hollywood's like a good wide receiver who uses speed as a tool to win. I think that's more the comp for Worthy, or like a Will Fuller, you know?
So yeah. Brian Thomas and AD Mitchell or Ed and I, how do you feel about those guys?
I mean, I think both players are talented. Thomas fares a lot better in data models just because his production this year was really, really good. And at least for me, for pre-draft model, you are using counting stats and you're using some efficiency stats. But I mean, his 17 touchdowns and what was it, a thousand? I'm trying to find him. Yeah, 1,177 yards and 17 touchdowns this year. I mean, like that's a lot of production, and that's alongside another first round NFL draft wide receiver. I think it's important to take that into context too. So I'm very high on Thomas. I like his film a lot. I don't know if you watched any LSU, but he just moves very well and he's very quick for a big guy. He's not as physical as some of the other big wide receivers like Rome, you know, like in a bar fight is going to smack Brian Thomas around. But but he's, man, he's fast and he runs really good routes. And a lot of this came like this year too. Like I did not really like Thomas as a player, just like you. Like I watched some college football casually. I was not impressed with him last year, and really watching his film over the past month, he's good, man. He's going to be a legit weapon at the next level. So I think A.D. Mitchell is kind of on the other end of the spectrum. He's all upside, right? Like clearly an athletic freak, like the most freakish athlete in this class at the wide receiver position by far. I don't remember his exact numbers at the combine, but I think it's like 220 and he ran like a 4.31 or something like that. Like that's stupid speed score. And, you know, and like burst and stuff like that. It's really impressive as well. A.D. Mitchell's tough to get behind if you come from a data perspective first, because he just like didn't do much in college, right?
I mean, Georgia. I'm a Georgia fan, so he didn't do anything there, which is why he transferred.
He had like one big touchdown as a freshman, right? Like a bowl game or something. You know, I don't know. This year, 185 receiving yards on 31 catches, 6 touchdowns. Just doesn't look special. And then when you get into like the second tier metrics, like the advanced metrics that like data nerds like receiving yards per team pass attempt, like he's never broken 2.0, which is kind of like the minimum threshold for guys that are going to have success at the next level. There's several people post about this on Twitter recently, but his best season's a 178. You want a guy that's over 2 for his career, generally speaking, right? And your best season's under that. It's a tough sell for me. But like, I don't know, Justin, you know, though, like we can tell stories about it, right? Like his freshman year, he was behind Bowers, behind Pickens on a team that didn't throw the ball and then went to Texas where, like, I don't know about you, but I don't think super highly of Quinn Ewers at this point. So whatever, there's narratives, but like, I don't know, man, I don't really like betting on narratives. So like AD, I feel like if he's cheap enough, I can tell myself stories that make him attractive. Like he certainly has the upside to be like a DK Metcalf type player, right? But he doesn't really have the production to make me feel great about, great about it. The flashes on his film are awesome. Like he's got plays where you're like, why didn't he do this for the other three quarters, right? And that's the thing about him. I don't know. Like, some people say he like just checked out on games or like would stop on a route if he knew he wasn't going to get the ball. And I'm like, these don't seem like good qualities to me.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems like there's a higher consensus on Brian Thomas than there is, an easily higher consensus on Brian Thomas than there is Mitchell. Like, I feel like Mitchell may drop in as more of this talking goes, as more people get into these rookies and hear more of this film, that AD might drop a little bit and Thomas isn't going anywhere. So, because a lot of people have him as their wide receiver 3 or 4.
He is for me. He's probably wide receiver 4 right now. And then Worthy's kind of hot on his heels too, but I think that's spicier. I don't think a lot of people have Worthy as like wide receiver 5. Look, if AD Mitchell is a second round pick, then I'm interested in him. Like if he's going where Rashee Rice went last year, then like, sure. Like, I think that's some good shots there, but I have a hard time seeing myself spending a first round pick on him.
Just a quick rundown of how you rank the first maybe 10 or 12 guys. I know you've put out rankings of how you feel about these guys.
I've published my data models rankings, and like, I will adjust from that a little bit. And also it'll look different after the draft because draft capital becomes an input and some of the counting stats actually go away. At that point, you get a more predictive model by using less after the draft, which is kind of interesting to me. Marvin and Neighbors are tier one, and you can argue it. That's not a hot take. For me, Brian Thomas and Rome are tier two, and I think you could argue it. I probably would take Rome first, like right now. You know what I mean? If I had like the whatever that pick and I was staring that down the barrel, but I could see like we talked about diversifying. If I had a couple Rome shares, starting to take Brian Thomas there, because I do think he's really good, man. And he's got traits that Rome doesn't. And then after that, I personally like Worthy, but I feel like that's kind of higher than the consensus is on him. I also like Troy Franklin a lot. Troy Franklin's data profile is great. I mean, he was just per my data model, if nothing else, he's like the wide receiver three. I don't like his film that much. I think it's good, but not great. I think he's like 80% of Jordan Addison, if that makes sense. Kind of the same mold, like really small guy, but can get bullied a little bit. But a route technician, stupid fast. He ran like a 4.32 or 4.34.2, which is, man, this class was just stupid fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Class,
I mean, is there a cutoff on these wide receivers that you're like, okay, I'm not interested in any of these guys after this anymore for what their likely market value is?
Right now, if you can, I think it's an awesome time to trade late first and early seconds because everyone is hyped right now. But the reality is that after those top five guys, at least in terms of analytics, it really falls off like quite a bit, right? Like A.D. Mitchell is not a good analytical profile. Troy Franklin's film is good, not great. Like there's some significant flaws once you get into that part of the class. That's not even that deep. We're talking about like my wide receiver, what, 7 or 8? I mean, I'm not looking at a rankings list, but those guys are going to go in like the back end of the first. And again, I there's some traits there to like, but they are far from a lock. So one of the things I did this year for the first time, my data model was correlate it to, like percentiles based on the best score ever. And then I looked at hit rates for every, there's a word for it, but every 10%, right? So if you're in the 60th percent, here's your hit rate, 70th percent, here's your hit rate. And like anyone below the 80th percentile, which is everyone in this class except Neighbors and Marvin Harrison, the hit rates in that cohort aren't great. They're like 33%, 25%, you know, if you're in like the 70th and 60th percentiles. And that's everyone after Neighbors. So I think either you're betting on a lot of outliers or some of these guys are not going to do what people think they're going to do right now, unless it is just a historically great class, right? So I'm kind of, if I can get paid like those guys are finished products or like they're elite prospects, I think that's a really smart thing to do. I do think there's a bunch of dart throws after that that are awesome too. Like Ladd's got some really nice traits. I like, who's the guy from Arizona? Cowing. Like Cowing scores really highly in my model and he's got a lot of really nice traits. He's little, but like he's a day one starting slot wide receiver for a team. I'm missing something. Jacob Cowing. Yeah, man, he's good. He's got awesome production. It succeeded against all levels of competition. He's stupid fast, shifty guy, you know. So I'm really high on him. And then I think he got guys like Leggett, who are like very flawed prospects. Like Leggett's data profile is just like hot garbage, like a fifth-year breakout. Like you did nothing in college until we were like 22, beating up on 19-year-olds. But damn, that year your production was pretty good, right? And he's stupid fast, stupid big. So it's like, do you take a flyer on that at cost? Yeah, sure. If he's like 301, I'm very interested in that, you know. And I think that's probably realistic because people are getting a little bit more enthusiastic about the running back class than they were a few weeks ago,
which makes for a deep rookie draft.
The sentiment meter right now, pretty high. After the draft, a lot of these guys are going to get buried, right? They're going to get drafted somewhere where there's three good wide receivers, or they're going to go in round four where we think they're round two prospects, right? Like there's a lot of stuff that can happen, or they're going to go to like
the Pats,
an offense with Kenny Pickett or something. So I don't know. The draft looks better right now. Rookie drafts look better right now than they're going to post the draft. I guarantee you that. Like, you can just like take the ADPs of everybody you think are like an early second round pick right now and move them up three spots. You know, unless they're the guys that strike out and are complete fallers.
Who do you want? Because you're a Patriots fan, right? You're up in the the Massachusetts area. You're up in the.
It's been a hard gig this year and last year.
Well, yeah, last year we recorded a show right around this time last year, I think it was, and we were talking about Belichick and Mac Jones, and you know, is Belichick on the hot seat? And obviously that panned out. So it's like a just a straight reset on the Patriots now. Good position.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be excited, right? So it's like a nervous excitement. You've never been in this position before.
True. Yeah. Literally, my whole adult life has been the Bill Belichick, right?
So how?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, you got like, I love Mayo, and I think he's going to be a great coach. I think he's going to be a players' coach. But they're basically giving him GM responsibilities. Like, have you worked in a front office ever? Like, I don't know, man. Does he know how to value contracts? Like, who's advising this guy? That's just like, hey, Larry, we got this GM job open for you. Dude, fucking go for it, man.
I would crush it, baby. Wheeling and dealing. That's it. That's all you got to do.
You probably would, you know? But, and I'm not saying he's going to do bad, but I will be, I feel like you're asking a lot of a guy that's a first time head coach to also ask him to be a first time GM rebuilding a steaming pile of garbage. Yeah. That's the result.
I'm not getting to know anybody on a team. They're just going to be names for me. I'm going to be wheeling and dealing, building a champion. I'll have two first round picks every year as a GM.
Look, this GM situation for like him doing it, it can't be any worse. Cause I mean, he can't go out there and throw $80 or $90 million at Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, right?
What about Russ Wilson? That deal.
So, I mean, the times are looking up. How do you feel about Drake May since he's your future quarterback?
I don't hate it. And there's some flaws on May in film. I haven't done like my hard quarterback grind yet, but you, I pay attention to what other people are doing. And, you know, like you, I've been watching these guys for a while.
Well, how long has he been in your Debbie spit? How long has he been in your Debbie world?
Drake May? I mean, he got drafted in as a freshman in supplemental drafts in CDC. Right. And he looked good in spring camp, so he was a coveted asset that following year. And then from his sophomore year on, he's been playing ball, right? So
he's been ahead of the radar, you know?
Yeah. So, look, I like May. I think he's going to be good, right? I think he's got some things to work out. But as I started to do, like, my data work, I get this theory with quarterbacks, right? That sometimes the guy that's doing more with less around him might be showing more talent than the guy that's doing more with more around him, right? Like any quarterback that's not, oh God, whoever the kid was from McCord can be fairly successful at Ohio State throwing to three future Pro Bowlers, right? Mm. But like, who was Drake May throwing to this year?
Nobody this year, that's for sure.
Tez Walker, but Tez Walker is a G5 transfer up. He's like maybe the wide receiver 10 in this class. Like nothing, you know, nothing really going on there. Had a good running game. And he's still like put up good data, right? And all his secondary metrics look pretty nice. So I think I'm okay if he's our quarterback in the future. I'm feeling more comfortable with May than Daniels because there's some huge red flags in Daniels' profile. But also, if Daniels hits, his upside is awesome.
Ceiling
is higher,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, Brock Bowers is interesting because tight ends have always been like a curse in the first round for in dynasty rookie drafts.
OJ Howard
started that whole like the next
he was Gronk so thing. Good his rookie year and then had an ACL or something.
Who's the line really tight end like long before that?
Ebron, Eric Ebron.
Yes, Eric Ebron. That was the real
he's still starter. Kicking around the league last year, but not a starter.
He was a tight end machine one season with I think Peyton Manning.
He had like 16 touchdowns or something, right?
Or maybe it wasn't Peyton Manning or somebody else was just peppering him.
He was a Lion. He just played for Stafford, right?
But then didn't he go to the Colts with
teams are looking for a tight end now in the NFL is like a guy with route technician ability, a guy that can block and like
keep on going with those traits because all I hear is wow, that's Brock Bowers. Well, that's Brock Bowers.
But Brock Bowers can yes, he is extremely athletic, but he can run routes. Like
no, he's a great route runner. I said it last year, and I don't consider myself a biased Georgia fan. Like, I can shit on players from Georgia, and I don't feel bad about it. But I said he was a better prospect than Pitts because he was already a refined route runner. Whereas Pitts was relying on athleticism, and that's probably part of the problem in the NFL.
100%.
So, but he's also a willing blocker. Like, that dude likes contact. He likes to play the tight end position. He doesn't split up wide. And
he's a tackle breaker too. That's the other. Those are kind of, that's like the trifecta for tight ends, right? You can block, you can break tackles, you can run routes, and athleticism. If you can do those things, I think you're going to be successful. All the guys that are busted have lacked one of those things. But you look like Laporta. Laporta is an all-around tight end. He can block. He's got extreme athleticism. He was a yak guy in college. He was a tackle breaker in college. Like, that's a profile I want to bet on. And Bauer seems more like that profile to me. And just the raw production is like absurd from him for a tight end. Pitts was always an athletic. Pitts was always an outside wide receiver that was too big, right? And didn't have the technical ability. So I think he could be good, but he's going to need a coach to basically scheme him into success a little bit. He's not going to like separate and create on his own.
So what wide receivers are you taking over Brock Bowers? In other words, where does he land for in your first round of a rookie draft?
In like a tight end premium league or not?
Come on, we don't.
Oh, yeah, we're always tight end. Minimum 1.75.
Yeah, I can justify taking him over Rome Odunze. I could justify taking him over some of the quarterbacks. I do think he's legit. I do think that's rich for a tight end just because of the risk. It feels like Kyle Pitts, right? But I think Bowers is a much better prospect than Pitts was. I feel like once the hype machine gets going, you might have to take him there. Although I think people are sour too, right? Like Pitts has left a bad taste in people's mouths. Yeah. And then Kincaid last year.
Yeah.
Underperformed Laporta. So you might see Bowers slip. You might not have to take him there.
I mean, he's getting mocked around pick number 7, and that's like that's the OJ Howard, the dead zone right there. That's where Howard was. He was right around the 7th pick in that year's rookie draft.
It's too late.
Too late for Bowers.
It's too late for Bowers.
Bowers could be successful playing slot receiver in the NFL. He's that good as
You're
a route runner.
Bowers over dude. JJ McCarthy?
Yes.
Yeah. Where does JJ land? Do I need a quarterback? Right. Is he the best player? Yeah. He's a better tight end than JJ McCarthy.
JJ a quarterback maker. And then the other question is JJ a difference maker in fantasy in the NFL for fantasy in the NFL?
He could be like a Ryan Tannehill, sneaky 300 yards a year runner, but is he going to throw 40 touchdowns? We just don't know. Like, you don't
what's
have
his,
that what, information.
What's McCarthy's real upside? Like QB 15? QB 14? We're flushed with quarterbacks right now.
I think he's going to be in that category of quarterbacks where he can be excellent with the right weapons around him, like Goff. But when he doesn't have good weapons around him and he doesn't have a good offensive line, he's going to suck, you know, which you can say about like 20 quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, right. No doubt about that.
So you're liking Bowers at no later than the 1-6, Justin.
Yeah, I think that's the tier break for me.
That's when all the top guys are basically, I mean, there's a top, there's like a solid top five, consensus top five.
Yeah, there's easily a consensus. I think it's consensus top six because you're going to see
So Bowers
mixed in with above neighbors in some drafts. You're going to see him mixed in above Jaden Daniels in a few drafts here and there. I think he could go anywhere from 104 to 106.
Wow.
Yeah, like if I'm at that like 104 spot and I'm hurting at tight end and I don't need a quarterback and I can't trade back, I would justify it there. Wow. I wouldn't feel too bad about it. You know, if Rome turns into a wide receiver one, maybe you're a little bit sour about it, but there's no way to me that Bowers isn't like a top six tight end in the league for like 10 years. It's
Rome Odunze. See, what is his ceiling?
I mean, Rome's
6'3", 212.
Like, his ceiling's a fantasy wide receiver one for sure. He's like a different profile than Marvin Harrison to me, or like Brian Thomas. Like he's an excellent route runner. He's fast. He's big. He's not as like nuanced at the route running as like Harrison is. Like Harrison's a big dude, but he runs routes like a little guy, right? Like just like tons of separation, tons of deception and things like that. Like think like, you know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave type routes out of Marvin Harrison.
Thinking like Marvin Harrison Sr. Like It's a wonder where he gets it from, right?
Yeah, right. He's like that guy, fucking 4 inches taller. He's bigger, yeah.
Right. Is he like a TO? I mean, so it's like a lighter TO coming out, Rome?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. You know, like current players, he's kind of like the mold of like a Michael Pittman, but I think he's a better prospect than Pittman was. Yeah. But like big physical dude. So I was just grinding some stats for this. His contested catch rate this year was 75%. That's absurd.
He's the anti-Quentin Johnston. Yeah. Like, actually makes the context of the catches.
Alligator arms.
Dude, and he can run routes too. Again, not like a huge separator, but like, I don't know. He had the top cornerback on him all the time. He might land on a team where he doesn't have the top cornerback on him. And I think he'll torch if he gets, you know, second, like DB2s or DB3s on him. I think he'll do some damage as a rookie. But yeah, his upsides.
Where's the cliff in the first round? Is there a first round cliff in terms of tier?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Odunze and Brian Thomas to me are substantially better prospects than the rest of the wide receivers after that. So it's kind of like, and even then, like consensus, like,
so yeah, you figure Xavier Worthy's after them, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like Worthy that much, though. I think you're going to get Worthy, like, towards the end of the round a lot. People are going to draft Mitchell over him. You're probably going to see McCarthy go over him. You might see a running back go over him, you know, once, like, Trey Benson lands in a good spot or something like that. Like, a lot of people are just like down on that archetype.
Like, the cliff in the first round is, like, 110. It's like, when should you be trading for a 25 first is my question also.
Yeah. I mean, the cliff's at 7. Cliff's after 7, really, to me. I like Worthy. Yeah, so I'm really comfortable personally taking Worthy at the 108. Or, you know, like
that would be over Brian Thomas.
I like Thomas too. No, I mean,
Thomas would end up being the 8 if Odunze is the 7, and then Worthy at 9. And then, to me, that's the drop.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right in that. Everyone after that's a big gap, but I think the consensus value on Worthy is lower, right? So it might be like you might get some good deals trading up to 9 from an early second and give up a nothing and take Worthy. That might be a smart move.
I mean, if we get a Ladd McConkey in the first round, you know, what does that mean, huh?
He's a good pick at 202. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You guys aren't taking him in the first, right?
I was thinking 203, but
I'm not absolutely not. I don't care where he goes in the draft. I'm not taking him.
Great second round pick.
I'd like to get him at like a 206 is where I'd like to see him, which I think is probably reasonable.
No, I'm with you. It could happen. I know if he goes to the top 30 and he goes to a good team, because he's probably going to the back end of it, like the hype's going to be unreal.
Yeah, we're not dealing with we could be size queens this year and be
fine. But you can be a size queen.
Hey, baby, whatever it takes. I don't have to worry about it because the top three are locked in, you know, like as far as they've got the old school prototypical size. So,
yes.
But we were about to go through, I mean, you got to Jackson Arnold and we were talking about quarterbacks, but I do want to hear about some Debbie wide receivers.
Oh, Debbie wide receivers. Yeah. Me
some
too.
Guys that popped that weren't on the radar.
There's some good classes coming up for sure. So like 2026 has some really interesting guys. We were just talking about 26 quarterbacks. You know, there were some guys that came in highly recruited and did enough to kind of keep where they were. I mean, Zachariah Branch of USC looks electric. He's like Zay Flowers, like Jalen Waddle, like just that, like, you know, joystick kind of archetype, had some production in a crowded room. Carnell Tate got on the field for Ohio State and performed. He's probably the next Ohio State wide receiver. He's a guy you should be targeting in your drafts. And there's some like farther down the list guys that are pretty exciting too. There's a kid, Kevin Concepcion. I mean, you probably saw him play a little bit. Plays for North Carolina State, who just really like blew up this year, like extremely athletic, like 5'10", 180, like not a desirable size, but like just, man, he went for 839 yards. The true freshman, you know, playing the ACC. He's damn good. And there's another kid, Eugene Wilson, playing at Florida, that just looks awesome to me. He's mostly a slot guy, but like, just like a rack god, route ninja. Really excited about him. Next year's class has some talent too. I mean, Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, these guys are already becoming kind of household names to some degree. But I think next year is a talented class with some depth. You know, see how it looks coming up. You know, Evan Stewart, I think's a baller. So there's some other guys that were supposed to be good that have fallen off a little bit. Like Antonio Williams didn't have a good season. Matthew Golden, we don't really know what he is yet. You know, some guys like Bond, Isaiah Bond's playing at Texas this year. He could blow up. You know, yeah, Jaden Gibson.
Target hog's gone.
He could blow up. Squirrel Wright could do stuff. Dane Key could do stuff. Barrion Brown could do stuff this year. Kid Alec Iomaner blew up last year for Stanford. His metrics look awesome. So there's some guys coming up like that. Nick Anderson from Oklahoma, kind of another like big, strong, powerful, fast wide receiver that blew up this year. So I think there's a lot to be excited about in the pipeline as well. Feeling pretty good about the 2025 class, except I have no idea if any of those quarterbacks are going to be any good.
That's the problem, is like, this feels like it may be the last, and I don't know if we can call it a strong quarterback class, but the last like well-known quarterback class for a couple years of like guys that you really feel, you know, Caleb Williams, we felt great about for a while. Drake May, we felt really good about for a while. It's unfortunate that Spencer Rattler has plummeted. Of course, he would have been last year's class. It feels like this may be the last one. And of course, there's always like guys that pop and then climb boards up. At the same time, it's like, man, what are we looking for in 2025 at quarterback? It's ugly.
You're hoping on some guys to take a step, right? Like Drew Allar has the talent. He actually does okay in the model because he threw like one interception last year, like 25 touchdown passes. Just no volume, you know? It's like, what's going on there? And then I like Connor Wegman from A&M as well. I thought he elevated that offense when he was playing. Didn't get the full season out of him, had the injury. I'm hopeful for him. Shader Sanders, like, I don't know, man. He could do it, but, you know, there's some big red flags there, like just taking sacks, holding the ball, that like stuff like that doesn't translate to the next level.
Right, know? Yeah, it feels like, and you know, I'm in the Jackson, Mississippi area, and so very familiar with Shador, and it feels like he always played for the big play, and it was very successful at Jackson State, not quite as successful at Colorado because you can't always hold that long.
You know, like even at Colorado, like his tape is littered with plays of him like rolling out, like making guys miss. It's like, dude, in the NFL, it doesn't work. In the NFL,
guys, it doesn't work. You're tackled. Yeah, you're
smoked. You try to. You're not that athlete. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's like just not that athletic. Like, you try to roll out and make guys miss, you're just it's a 10-yard loss and a forced fumble.
Yeah. Especially because, and you say that 10-yard loss, but that's exactly what he does. He rolls deep too. Like, he's like, I'm gonna roll out, and then next thing you know, he's 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage throwing the ball. And you're like, wait, you cannot do that, man. Like that.
Yeah, I don't see it. And you get benched in a lot of programs.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype for him early in the season, and then the big name. You know, the big schools caught up to him real quick.
The Patreon. Yeah, okay. Join the Patreon, you're right. Hey, you want to chat with that Trades and Five guy? You get a lot of banter goes on in this. It's a lot of fun. But look, more importantly, you get the live show, unedited, raw version, where you get to see me freeze, because I edit all that shit out, man. I sound I'm not fucking cool as a cucumber when the podcast comes out. It's a fucking money.
These intros are going to sound real smooth. Opening.
Oh yeah.
The intros are going to sound real smooth when the
I'm gonna mix and match too. Sometimes I'll cut the front of it because we had some good banter in the front of the show before we even started. I'm gonna plug that shit right in the middle of the show, man. So yeah, but if you you know, one of the perks of being a patron is we drop you the link. You can,
you know, it's funny. You're talking about a lot of banner. What was it? Was it yesterday that there was news that dropped and I posted it?
Mike Evans. Posted
it, and then like 2 hours later, Larry's like, it was Mike Evans. What it was, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, Mike Evans. And we're like, yeah. And he goes, re-signed. We're like, yeah. Thanks, man, for keeping up. But it was like,
where you been, Larry?
Yeah, a lot of busy day, man. Busy day. So I see stuff, and I try to jump into our group chat of all the patrons, and it's always on fire. I always jump in. I'm like, oh, yeah, I missed this missed this one.
Missed the window. So does that mean Baker's back too? You guys think? Must be, right?
Oh yeah, I love it. So.
I don't think Evans would have re-signed unless they assured him they were trying to.
Yeah, because Baker. He did say he didn't want to, or there was, I don't know if he even said it, but I know there was like the rumor mill.
Well, he said he didn't want to play with a rookie. Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, he didn't want to play with, you know, a rookie. He didn't want to play with he didn't want to do the rebuild thing. So
yeah, so a lot of it's gonna be crazy free agent stuff happening, you know, with the Falcons have been a buzz for everyone. What's the draft a quarterback? Are they going
to
sign? Well,
according to Troy, every quarterback available is going to the Falcons. It's just a matter of
every, according to the internet, the whole internet is saying that every quarterback's going to the Falcons.
Yeah,
you know, Cousins makes sense.
Cousins makes great sense. White, yeah, Alpharetta, like, you know, just down the road.
So he's a functional quarterback that has a lot of weapons that he can. That he's yeah. He's a quarterback that distributes the ball evenly. There's a and they have a nice evenly balanced offense that he could take that advantage of that.
So let me ask you guys this: would you rather have Cousins on the presumed $40 to $50 million a year deal, or Russ Wilson on the league min
as a general manager of an NFL team?
As a general manager of an NFL team,
I know my answer. It's an easy one.
Russell.
It's got to be right?
Cousins. See,
you'd rather pay $40 or $50 million for Cousins than Russell Wilson on the league minimum.
I've never seen Cousins curl up in a fetal position at midfield before. Like
just I've seen $50 million is tough. It's tough to swing.
Yeah.
Look, Cousins is a really good quarterback. I think he's like a top 15 NFL quarterback and has been and will be, right? Like new talent comes in and he seems to always be hovering around in that range. Like he's competent.
He's got a high floor. Russ has a low floor.
You got to bring Cousins into a team that's ready to win already, is the point. You can't bring him in and then bring in other free agents and re-sign people. You got to bring him in when the team is ready, like the iron is hot. You're ready to strike.
He would never sign with a team that wasn't ready.
Which is why the Falcons work, because the offensive line is there. It's solid.
Yeah.
They've got the weapons. They invested a bunch of money in the defense last year. And so it was decent enough last year. Like that team is ready to roll. So that does make sense for Cousins.
Yeah, probably more like a wide receiver three, but like you can figure that out.
Right. That's, you know, that's findable.
It's like a Tyler Boyd. You know? Oh, so free agency is going to be crazy.
You're right. I'm wrong. You signed Cousins to the Falcons.
I think
but if you're like the Patriots, you don't sign Cousins.
You well, if you're the Patriots, do you trade that pick for a haul and rebuild? Because you have a barren, your whole team is barren, right?
I mean, yeah, where are your strengths?
Where are the Patriots' strengths?
Hold on, Larry. We just talked about it. They need a quarterback in the next 2 years. We don't know who the quarterbacks are. Like it's
yeah.
And
they're going to sign Brissett back, and he'll be
That's not a quarterback. That's a roster. That's a warm body.
They can't patchwork it. They got to break it down. They got to start from ground zero. They can't patchwork.
You got to get the quarterback when you have the pick.
Yeah, see, that's
the pick.
That's I'm with you, EK. You got to get the quarterback when you have the pick. If you pass,
and then you have to hammer offense in the rest of the draft. You need to rebuild the line. The line's hot trash. I don't think there's enough free agents to sign to do it. And you need to give the guy weapons. If you string out like Jaden Daniels with a shitty offensive line and you give him like Juju and whoever the kid was from Liberty to throw to, like we're screwed. You're going to like ruin his development, you know, lost years, injuries.
Listen, you can't play that. I've lived this life. This has been my lifestyle for the last dozen years, man. I'm telling you how to do it.
Larry, the only problem, Larry, is that I know you want to wait and build the team and then add the quarterback, but look at the Falcons this year. They built the team, and then they're not in position to add the quarterback unless it's through free agency and you're adding Kirk Cousins.
So J.J. McCarthy or Fields for you?
Mystery box. Give me the mystery box.
Yeah,
Bo Nix? I'm taking Fields over Bo Nix.
I'm taking Fields over Bo Nix because I think Bo Nix is actually bad.
Yeah, Bo Nix is like the 32nd pick.
But who knows? Look, I would have told you Brock Purdy was bad too, and he's top 12 NFL quarterback now. So
Larry, you said
who the hell knows?
You ever do you hunt up there in Massachusetts?
I am not a hunter, but yeah, people do. I mean, I grew up in New Hampshire too, so New Hampshire people hunt. Like, we had guns and stuff, but yeah.
So you don't have a beaver permit at all?
Do not. No.
It's but doesn't this
rookie class have like a super cliff where everything just goes barren like right away? Or are we gonna find our Puka Nacuas and Tank Dells?
You know, I think people are gonna overvalue those picks just because like we're coming off of like a year where you got like two elite players past pick 24, which just does not ever happen, really, right? Like it's shocking to get two elite wide receivers that late. So I think people will overvalue them this year, but I don't know. There's a lot of interesting names at running back. You know, there's maybe six guys that are interesting, but they should mostly be gone in the second. And then, like I said, you know, there's like Leggett and Cowing and, you know, players like that. That's probably who you're throwing darts at. Javon Baker is interesting. I think he's an NFL player. He'll probably be a second round pick when all is said and done. So who are you throwing darts at? Malachi Corley, Jalen McMillan. I kind of like these guys. Jamari Thrash. I don't know if you guys know these guys, but like, Corley and Thrash are like dominant G5 players with good profiles. Javon Baker's a five-star that fell from grace at Alabama, went to UCF and dominated. Jalen McMillan was like the 1B to Rome Odunze, and they got hurt midseason, and people forgot about him. But like, he's a good player. So that's probably what I'm doing with my third-round picks, is taking those guys. Are you buying Christian Watson for a second?
For a second? Probably not. Maybe if I can, do like Christian Watson and a third for my second, I might do that.
But there, you buying Christian Watson viable? I don't know if you're going to want to give up what the GM wants to sell him for.
Do you think?
I feel like you could take him down for a second.
Yeah, I think that's easy. Like if you offer
a second round pick, especially after what we just talked about with how deep the second round potentially could go with these guys.
His rookie year was really good.
Late second for Watson, spam it out.
Yeah.
What's the 2.5, 2.6
for Watson? I want to go a little bit later than that.
I'd rather might not be a bad idea as we get closer to draft. I mean,
I don't know. And again, like the end of the second is going to look worse than it does now, right? Like somebody's not going to get draft capital. Running backs are going to go day three or like not get drafted. You know, like Deshaun Tucker last year, right? He was like
that slew of guys too. What's the little guy that went to the Falcons? Is his name Deuce? I'm not the Falcons. The Cowboys. Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn. Yeah.
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 Look, like those guys. Just a warning out there for folks: don't draft a 122-pound running back. Not a good process.
He's the only one on the roster right now, I think, right? According to Bo McBriar.
Is Dowdle still there? I have no idea what Dowdle's contract situation was.
Rico?
I thought maybe he was there, but I could be wrong. If that's the case, then they'll sign like four of these high-level free agents. Because my goodness, there's a lot of names out there. I don't know if the production is there in the free agent class, but the name value is there. So we're going to see some musical chairs and running backs.
Yeah. Definitely interesting. That'll make for some interesting content as we get closer.
If you get out of line, Justin will take you out and make you pick your own switch out in the backyard.
Oh, we do down here, damn it.
Get the switch. you're gonna get that switch. What do you do? You don't switch somebody. What do you do? What's the act once you have a switch?
You whoop them. Go get a whooping, boy. Go get me a switch. I heard that a couple times as a child. We don't do that as often. I say we. I have never done it to my kids. But in the South, we don't do that as often. But it still happens for sure. But yeah, I definitely would.
It's less encouraged to beat your children now than it was.
Like when I was in the mid-80s, it wasn't a problem. Like
we get whooped.
If you got out of line in the grocery store, your ass was grass, man. It was over. You got smoked.
We didn't have switches, but we had belts.
Yeah, right.
Sure. See, the switch, or like a cooking stick or something.
The spoon.
Yeah.
My girl's like family's Puerto Rican, so it was a spoon for her. They had the wooden spoon.
Yeah, but see, EK, the only thing about a switch versus a belt is that you can go get your own switch, but you can't take off daddy's belt. That's just weird. So,
man,
there was the dreadfulness of going to, and you're looking. I've only
demoralizing.
I had to do it twice.
You had to go get your own switch.
Yes, twice in my life. And you're like, which one's going to be okay? Because you don't want to get the super skinny ones because those hurt like hell.
Now you're talking about, what are you, like walking out to like a weeping willow tree or something?
Let me tell you what was the worst was bamboo. All right. And my grandmother across the street from her. And now this is all like basically family people.
Are you in a holler? No, you guys living in a holler?
No. It's just,
you know what a holler is, EK?
You can holler to your family.
You live like a little, like a little private street by yourselves. Everybody does. So you holler and everybody can hear you. Hey, wait, you got any some sugar? Oh yeah, I'll be out of that sugar.
Right. I'm just learning all kinds of good stuff tonight.
I had zero experience with that. So
did I get it right, Justin, or no?
You know, it was yeah, interesting.
A holler.
But there was a patch of bamboo, and I had to go cut one of those one time.
That patch of bamboo?
Yeah. Now you don't go get like the 2-inch thick bamboo.
But... Break your ass.
Bamboo's illegal in my town. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, it's because it's not native.
Yeah, you gotta bamboo cut that. It grows fucking wild. The bamboo.
It does. It will take over. Yeah. So I had to go in and I spent a summer cutting bamboo there one time. Just cutting bamboo and laying it and stacking it.
You were like, you were a switch. You were
not
a,
to
like
be a, abused just for
back what? In your, back in right, your child yeah. trafficking days. That's what you,
yeah. You know, child labor laws don't exist in rural Georgia. I can tell you that right now.
I was washing dishes at 11, man. That's
You must have been terrible at washing dishes. I would never let an 11-year-old kid wash dishes.
My first job.
No way that those dishes get washed.
My first job, like my first week, my boss told me to clean the counter, and I was so dumb. I was such a dumb kid. I took the broom and started trying to sweep the counter off. Yeah. My buddy Joel looks terrible. What the you're doing, man? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They yelled at me and they're like cried. So the fucking 11-year-old, and they so mad
because you're 11. You're only 11.
Emotional labor.
Yeah. Well, if you'd have been down here, you wouldn't have had to worry about that. You're just going to cut your own switch, and it would have been over. Yeah, man. Switch,
boy.
Been all set.
Go get that.
You
switch.
Wouldn't have had that emotional damage that you received.
Now, what do you do once you get the switch? You hand it.
Oh yeah. You don't play around, man.
You hand it over and you just bend over. Like, what do you do? Then it hits you in the face with it. I don't get it.
Oh man, who the hell gets hit in the face with a fucking?
I don't know, man. I don't know what this whole switch protocol is.
Or they beat your ass with it. Literally.
Yeah, I just saw a light bulb go off over EK's head. I don't know. He's just got an idea.
Don't do it there. Not gonna like that in Boston.
Yeah, no. Look, man, I had we were in Somerville. I had my kid on my shoulders, and we were walking away from having dinner or like lunch with my girl, and the kid's screaming, "I want mama." And I had this lady fucking stalk me to my truck and put her face like in my truck window because she clearly thought I was abducting the child and screaming for mama. You know, this like they just but like the very image of the like I don't know, like New Englander, like liberal woman, right? Like, you know, middle-aged lady, just like.
Yeah, man. You're on that whole scene's on TikTok.
And I've got like a screaming child striking me. Like, I'm just like, get the fuck out of my truck.
Like, if you don't back away from my truck, I'm going to give him to you and you deal with him, okay?
I want mama. Your problem. You want him? Take him. Child Protective Services, great.
I know this kid's fucking driving you nuts and she's harassing you for stealing them. You're like, just fucking, you can have them.
I don't even want this kid right now. Crap. Dadgummit.
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 Bringing it around, bringing it back. Well, let's go. Let's go get EK. Let's get him out, man. EK Baller. Hey, don't forget, we got an orphan in our listener league. EK, you want to get in on a fucking serious 14-teamer?
She's gonna whip my ass again. I don't know.
I'm the worst. I'm terrible.
Yeah, believe me, Larry's not beating anybody's ass in this league.
It's a 3-copy 14-team.
Yeah,
Superflex title
premium. Yeah, send me a screenshot. I'm sure it's bad. People don't abandon good teams.
EK is intrigued. It'll be a dispersal, right, Justin?
It'll be at least a three-team dispersal.
At least three-team dispersal. The big twist is that you might be into this. Their future firsts in the rookie drafts.
And not like taking like the future 102. You're like, no, I want Larry Monkey's first. That kind of
thing. Yeah. Everyone has the individual's firsts are in the rookie drafts. So
the next year's.
But
we're actually first. 2 years out. So like this year we'll have 2026 firsts in the rookie draft. They'll be
assigned to everyone in the league. So I can go get Justin's first if it's my pick. If I have a pick, if I like the 110 and I'm like, I don't like who's available at the 110, I'm gonna take Justin's 2026 first. Boom.
Which, given my team, would be an awful decision.
Terrible, yeah, because Justin never didn't tell anyone about these settings. He had the greatest draft in the history of drafts.
I called it the big twist from the beginning.
Everyone knows this. It's a running joke. I shouldn't have said that because I'm selling the league. It's a very fun league. That what I said was not true. I'm just picking on. I'm picking on.
Really building value here. Building value. Right, closing the deal.
Try again. Yep.
I know. I'm not closing this deal the way it should have been closed.
Yeah, we'll have three orphans.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of good stuff. The Angry Sports Couple is in this league.
They are my friends. I like them quite a bit.
I know you guys are tight. Geez, man. Tell us what you know. Tell us about the Debbie Dose. Sometimes I chime in on that one. I'll see that it's happening. I'll say hello.
Yeah. You know, we're year three of the podcast, just grinding, CFF, CTC, Debbie content. Love it. We'd love a follow. We'd love a subscription from you guys. You guys get a good base. You guys want to learn about these rookies before it's rookie draft season? You want to be prepared? You want to know what picks you should be trading for? That's kind of where we come in. Still a little niche there that Dynasty content doesn't.
We love having EK on. He's a lot of fun.
Always have a good time here.
And sure, hey, what do you do? What does EK Baller do for the NFL draft?
You know, I don't know. I don't have plans yet. What are you guys doing?
Well, we happen to have a nice big draft party every year. We if you would like to join us, that'd be fantastic. You don't have to hang out for the whole show. You could pop in for a round or two. You could come in, come out, come in, come out, come in. That'd be fantastic. Bo McBig Time's gonna do the same thing. So we're putting together our 2024 draft party, and it's always been a big time crowd pleaser. So you got nothing going on. More than welcome. We'd love to have you.
As long as I can get mocked and derided by Larry and learn about beating children with switches, that's what I come here for.
Oh, well, then we can make that happen.
Book it. All right, EK's in with Bowman Big Time, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4.